Hello, and welcome to We've Got Your Six on NDTnow.com, brought to you by SureHand, the self-service hiring platform that instantly matches industrial employers with verified tradespeople. Thank you to all you returning listeners who are joining us here again at We've Got Your Six. And if you're new to the podcast, We've Got Your Six is all about interviewing prominent figures in the NDT industry and getting their take on where the industry's headed, getting some advice for those who are just starting their careers, all while hearing some great stories along the way. We ask all of our guests the same six questions to keep it short and sweet, so you can listen on your lunch break or on your way to the job site or while you're waiting to board a flight. Be sure to check out our other podcasts, Level Up and Gain, on ndtnow.com. And now I'd like to introduce our guest, Mr. Flynn Spears. Flynn is a fellow of ASNT and has been an active member since 1975. Flynn has been in the NDT industry for nearly 50 years and brings a wealth of knowledge to our audience. Hi, Flynn. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hello, Mary Beth, and hello to all. Thank you for clicking in and being a part of this podcast.
So, Flynn, we always start with how did people get into the NDT industry? Because it's always an interesting story of either people fell into it. Mr. Danny Keck, he answered a phone call at a phone booth. So can you tell us a little bit first about how what you do now and then how you got into NDT?
Happy to. Due to, unfortunately, our current COVID-19 epidemic, I'm currently in between jobs. But I just recently worked for an NDT equipment manufacturer, Laser Technology Incorporated, who manufacture test systems that utilize the holography and scurography laser method for the inspection of components, structures in the aerospace, launch vehicle, automotive, wind, and medical market segments. The company also provided testing, level three oversight services, along with training for level one, two, and three courses under TC1A and NAS 410 requirements. I'm also involved in committee work with our organization, the American Society for Non-Destructive Testing. So even though some of us are working in a limited capacity as inspectors, ASNT is still a living, breathing organization for our members. And they too are working remotely for the most part in order to keep things going. Also, as a result of my current and past activities in ASNT, I am running for the 2020 to 21 position or secretary-treasurer of our society.
That's really great. I'm happy to hear that. And I think, with your background as it is, you've just started hosting the Innovation and NDT webinar for ASNT as well. Is that correct?
That is correct. I actually just did my first hosting yesterday with just a few operational miscues, but that's okay. Everything went relatively smoothly. So looking forward to the continuation of that series, as it definitely provides a wealth of information for our new practitioners and old practitioners as well.
Excellent. So what you've done in the past has been very, very interesting. I know the laser scurography I have found quite fascinating as to what you did, but you weren't always in laser scurography. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got into the industry?
Yes. My introduction into the field was through the U.S. Air Force back in 1973-74 out of Chanute. Chanute Air Force Base is located in Rantoul, Illinois, and it also historically was one of the first bases where the Tuskegee Airmen trained before moving to Alabama. or Tuskegee Field, which was right outside of the university. So for a period of 6 years, I was in either as active into reserve, went to work Boeing for Seattle in their R&D group, and then transitioned into field inspection while there for 3 years. From there into NDT product sales for a short period of time before going to work for one of the premier Eddy Current equipment manufacturers of that time in Washington State, which was ZTEC Incorporated. So many changes took place during that time in our industry that were adopted throughout by use by developers, technicians, researchers, and trainers. Some good and bad, but all good for the industry that still continues to innovate to this day.
Excellent. And I'm going outside the box a little bit on this question, but I know that the NDT industry has had some issues in terms of finding those veterans who are coming out of service who have experience in NDT and integrating them into the industry. Was that a difficult process for you? And
not really, because there were our industry back then was cyclic, and what I mean by that is that manufacturers were looking for experience over education. And then it would cycle through. Then they were looking for education. And then the people who had the education or the degrees could then build up their experience as they worked for these particular companies. So it was cyclic. It ebbed and flowed. So during those years, I didn't feel that there were any issues or shortages of people or problems with transitioning. It would also come down to possibly who you knew or things that we're addressing now and things that we try to tell people to continue to do, like network and become involved so that you know what's available once you either come out of school or leave other jobs.
Interesting. So you gave us a little bit about your background, about where you worked, but can you tell us what methods you've worked with over your careers, maybe what you prefer to work with, what's your favorite?
Right. The method that I enjoyed most and worked with the longest was Eddy Current. While at ZTEC, I was there for a period of 20 years. And so during those early years, we pioneered the use of eddy current for the inspection of steam generator tubing for various forms of tube wall damage, for example. These were remarkably interesting years, which I was involved in witnessing and performing new and innovative inspection techniques that we learned by using the method on primary business at that time, which was steam generator. So, during that time, fun and exciting things were when we would transition what we learned in one market segment to another, like dual frequency or mixing, and then moving that over and applying it to aerospace or automotive, where there may have just been single frequency applications. So those were fun, and being able to also keep those other market relationships going and getting involved in other markets early on during that period. So it also, that was during the time when the industry was going from analog to digital. So as these manufacturers were innovating in those electronic arenas, transitioning from analog to digital was also fun. But they were also challenging as well, because we all had those putting our roadblocks up to, well, you know, slow to change and not accepting new things, or having to prove out that this actually works, or having to qualify it and so on. But all of that was part of the development and the growth of during those transitional periods. So being at the forefront of the technology and innovation during those years as a young technician, was overly exciting and rewarding. It gave me the opportunity to travel throughout the country and internationally as well. Some of these international relationships I still have with people I've met during those early years. So years after and to that, they now have afforded me the opportunity to work with other equipment manufacturers and method developers and promoters through equipment sales roles and management.
Excellent. And that's sort of what I find throughout my career was most exciting, was doing what I called parallel technology transfer, where we take technologies from one industry and put them in another industry and put them to good use there. There's not a lot of people who do that kind of bridging the gap between the different sectors, because often it's not, they don't go to the same conferences except for at ASNT, which is really great because it brings together those different sectors and people can learn from each other and how to take one application and apply it to somewhere else. So I agree. That's what I find most exciting about my career over the years as well.
Right, right. And I'm reminded of when I first met you, when I came through years ago and still at ZTech and working with our rep at that time was Doug Canode and Fioli. I think he was still with Fioli. So I'm reminded of us driving in and out of Cranston and Rhode Island and various other places to get to you. So we've got some history.
Yes, yes. Nearly 20 years ago. We shouldn't even say that, really.
You broached it. You kicked it out there first. So, yeah.
So along the way, I know in the NDT industry, it's one of the things that's really great about NDT is everybody is so willing to help everybody else. And I think mentoring has been hugely important to most people in the industry. So can you tell us a little bit about who your mentors were and how their mentoring affected you?
Right. Yes. Yes. And truly agree, because we can't do it alone. My mentor in the Air Force was Mr. Tap Tapia. He arrived shortly after I did at my first base location, but he came right directly from Vietnam and was a military supervisor working alongside a civilian shop supervisor at the time. And it was not until he came into the lab in his role that I was actually allowed to come back and work in that NDI or NDT lab. So my career did not start out as smooth and all happy hand-holding as the first base I was assigned to was going through a racial discrimination event in the lab. So I was put into a whole other work location, one that I was not trained to do. And I was not happy and asked myself at the time, what had I gotten myself into? So once TAP came on board, he asked, hey, where are all my troops at? I was able to come back into the lab and actually do the work I was trained to do. So needless to say, I was indebted to him for breaking me out of purgatory, which no one else from the lab but me was supporting in that particular area I was shipped off to. But I learned much from him and actually followed him into Boeing here in Seattle, where we worked in different groups, but under the same management. So during this time, I was introduced to ASNT and the local section here in the Pacific Northwest. But during those years and in the late 70s, it was exciting to also work with these Boeing NDT engineers like George Ansley, Charlie Rotz, Ken Stewart, King Vanier, Van Phelps, Clint Serber, and other key influencers at Boeing, and also McDonnell Douglas like Don Hagemeyer, all of whom developed the procedures and performed a lot of the R&D that also drove some of the test equipment development at that time. So I was also a few of them who further inspired and told me to stay in this business. Clyde Denton, the owner of ZTech during those fun years, also influenced and allowed me the space to grow and become involved in equipment development, and took a chance on me in those days when there really weren't a lot of African-Americans in the commercial, industrial, and DT industry. So I look back on those days, some with fondness, but mostly as a thank you to them and those at JBLM, which is Joint Base Lewis McChord here, for helping me stay the course. Some of these gentlemen went on to start their own businesses, supplying the aerospace industry, both commercially and military, with standard and special design eddy current probes for the many inspections that were increasing throughout the industry at that time. So being close to this kind of innovation and development early on was exciting, to say the least. So why not stick it out in some way or another, be it in equipment sales, testing, manufacturing, and further involvement in AS&T.
That's great. That's great. So I guess given all the mentors that you had, what kind of advice would you give to someone else starting out in this business?
You're going to get many, probably some common threads to this answer, but it's going to be individual coming from anybody. But I would advise them to keep their eyes and ears open to what they see and are being told by their mentors. To not be afraid to fail in front of them, because it can only make you a better technician, researcher, teacher, salesperson, or whatever role you decide to take. Our profession is wide open to do and support whatever the need is out there. We're not restricted to 9 to 5, nor are we restricted to the everyday grind and coming to the same old place every day. Now, unfortunately, we're on lockdown, but that does not mean the end of us or our industry. So do not be afraid to speak up about what you want to do in this industry, because every day is going to be something different. It is in the end what you make of it, and the only roadblock could be you. There are many resources out there to make things happen. Right? Your career will not happen overnight in 3, 5, or 7 years, but put in your time, look to specialize in a method, for example, or a process to sharpen your skills, which you can apply to other methods. Get to know the people, no matter their level of proficiency, and network so you can learn more. I'm reminded of a meeting, we had a kickoff meeting at our section where we didn't have a speaker, but we did something new. We did a social gathering where we invited everybody to come in, and the section paid for it, so we didn't charge people to attend this. And I'm reminded of this because I spoke with a new technician. He was a level 1, and I'm talking to him, and I said, hey, you know, after I talked to him, I said, you know, definitely feel free to go around. But I got the sense from him, you know, he was a bit intimidated, and I recognized that he was intimidated. So I said, you know, hey, look, you know, don't worry, just don't worry about you're here with level 3s and you're with those that you may seem to think are beyond approachable. You know, we're here to help you. And so I think that's what I would also want to tell people coming into this new, don't be intimidated by those around you. Don't be afraid to go up and get to know them. Network. All right. So join a local section. If you have one, or reach out to ISC, our International Service Center, if you have any questions about where one might be, right, get involved, because by doing that, you can learn so much more. And again, don't be afraid to fail starting off, because it will only make you a better inspector.
Yeah, and currently, especially with the section meetings, a lot of people are having virtual section meetings, right? So as an engineer, I understand that networking with people is horribly anxiety ridden. But doing it over Zoom, you can maintain a level of distance, but while still getting to start to know people. So it's actually a great time to do that. And you can go to almost any section meeting across the country. I got to attend one for Western New York and then Northern New Jersey, New York section as well. So they had a joint meeting and I got to see people that I hadn't seen in 20 years from when I used to be in that section. So it was a really great experience and I never would have been able to do that on a regular basis. But now that they're virtual, I can go anywhere, which is fantastic.
It goes towards what our new norm is going to be. And even if it wasn't as a result of the virus, I think making this a venue or an avenue by which we can expand throughout AS&T is good. And it helps interact more. And it also, I think, will help the other sections remain viable and so on.
For sure. And then there's also that virtual section that they just started as well. So I think there's a lot of opportunities to network like there never was before. Even if you're working shift work and you can attend a little bit on your lunch break, if you're working second shift, you know, so I think there's a lot of opportunities that were not available before March. So I think it's really a great time to start that for sure. So we've been talking about some changes that are happening in the industry due to COVID, but overall, where do you see the NDT industry headed in the next 10 years?
NDT is global, and we serve many different market segments, including education, where the need is going to be for trained and dedicated inspection practitioners in our field. Manufacturing facilities and training institutions. This is key. So as we look, for example, at 3D printing, additive manufacturing, other new and emerging processes, we will have challenges as to how we test these. We as an industry feel we need to be included and involved in these new development processes. So non-destructive testing is an integral part of the global infrastructure, and AS&T must remain true to our mission statement, which is, we exist to create a safe world by advancing scientific, engineering, and technical knowledge in the field of non-destructive testing. And because of our mission statement, we will always need dedicated and trained people now and into the future.
Very true, very true. And I just see that the demand is going to increase. And I think that we're at a point where we're getting the word out about NDT a little more than we ever have before, right? So one thing is that we have this outreach committee within SOC now, you know, and part of it is to get the word out about NDT. And then also to help bring in groups that might be interested in NDT but hadn't seen a path forward in that industry before. You know, we've got the Veterans Committee, we've got the Women's Committee, and so I think there's we have more intentionality in getting NDT more into the mainstream. It's one of the reasons that we started this site, NDT Now, was to get the word out about NDT and about how it touches everything out there globally. And you know, I say, I feel bad for my Lyft drivers because every Lyft car I get into, they ask me what I do, and then they learn all about non-destructive testing on the way to the airport. So yeah. I'm spreading the word one Lyft driver at a time.
Yeah, there you go. And you know, and with the degree of travel that we used to do, when you may be sitting next to someone, you know, on the plane or at the airport or during some form of your travel, when you mention about what you do and whoever you mentioned it to actually knows or is familiar with some form of it is like, oh, hey, great. Okay, then what is it that you know? And then it goes on from there. So it's really fun to actually mention what you do and someone recognizes it through either a friend or they've had some introduction to it years ago. Like, well, we Magnafluxed everything, or okay, well, I work for a company and I know that we do X-ray, or they ran across it somewhere.
Right.
So that's always been fun to through the course of travel and talking about what we do.
For sure. I'm usually in shock when it happens, but I will say it's happened much more over the last 5 years than ever before. So
Yeah, that's good.
Well, thank you again, Flynn, for joining us today. We really appreciate your time and sharing your stories and knowledge with us. And thank you again for our listeners. Remember, we've got your six every month here at ndtnow.com, brought to you by Surehand. Let good jobs find you. Learn more at surehand.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you next month.
Goodbye, all.